yes, it has been a complete joy to worship with you in the morning earlier service and for this one. And I don't know if you can hear the violin throughout the sanctuary, but if you can't, I suggest you move up into this corner, because it was truly a blessing to have that, and the piano too, because we don't have a piano player at our church right now, so it has been special. Audrey and Bill might come back, I'm thinking. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Fred, and I am an associate pastor at a small church up in Wallace, Michigan, in the UP. Yes, I am a Uper, dare hey. And I am just glad, so glad to be here with you today. I am humbled to be here. It is not anything that I've accomplished for me to be here. It is but by the grace of God I am here with you today. And I just am amazed by God. And I praise and thank him for this opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. So I would encourage you to follow along and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be moving around a little bit, so have your fingers ready. And please follow along. Always follow along when someone is teaching or preaching to you, to be sure that it is the word of God and not their own words. And while you're finding your way to Ephesians, let me introduce myself just a little bit, and I'll explain a few things. First, I wanted to thank you, and I've done that, and I especially want to thank Pastor Grant for having Titus and I here today. I was saved a little over 30 years ago, and I had never been in a church in my life other than a wedding or a funeral here and there. So Brown Deer Baptist Church was the first church I ever stepped through the doors of, and that's where Pastor Grant was the pastoring at that time. And he's the first man to ever pray with me. He is the man that baptized me. He's the man that baptized my wife, and we met there, and he married my wife and I. I mean, he joined us in wedlock. He didn't actually marry us. But he is the man that led me to a walk with Christ. Not a religion, but a walk with Christ. And I am thankful for that, and Central Parkway Baptist Church is blessed to have him. Secondly, the reason Titus and I am here today, the reasons are similar why Titus and I are here, but a little bit different. Let me share this quickly with you. Another pastor from Liberia was actually here last year and visited us at Country Bible Church. His name was Emmanuel Jonah. And he is the son of parents that founded an orphanage called the Betty Jonah Orphanage. And he was sharing some of the needs of the orphanage, and he was mentioning that on the compound, they had built a shell of a building that they wanted to turn into a medical clinic. And he was sharing the needs of supplies, and then he said the nurse word and said they needed a nurse to help set up the clinic. And my wife is a nurse, and she was sitting next to me. And I could just feel her heart literally melt. And I knew at that moment that we would be going to Africa. And so God is leading 11 of us to Liberia, Africa for 13 days in August. And there we'll be serving the church, helping leadership, a little bit of leadership training in the church. We'll be serving at two orphanages, and we will be setting up the clinic. We've sent 2,000 pounds of supplies ahead of us to help set up the clinic. And now about Titus. Titus is a young pastor in a church in Monrovia, Liberia. We're connected with him, but he is only really a little small part of our trip. We've got him over here to get him a little bit of training and get him connected. His heart is for his denomination there, and his denomination is some 50,000 members strong. And God has given him the desire to have sound doctrine within that denomination and pure gospel truth. So that's what he's trying to do through God, is to help train leaders within the church so that the gospel is proclaimed in truth. So we come to why am I here kind of thing. And this is completely flipped for me. I've been sitting where you are with someone going on a missions trip asking for money. And I can just tell you this. I'm up front, and I like to think I'm sincere. And yes, I do want you to pray for this ministry, absolutely. And yes, I have prayed for God to give you a heart to give. But I have to tell you, in my heart of hearts, I'm here because I desire to share God's word with you. I love God, and I love his word, and I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And more than anything else, I desire for you to experience more of Christ, and that your walk and your journey with God would be a walk in his peace and his joy. Not worldly happiness, but the joy of Christ. And not peace in television, and not peace in Facebook, and not peace in drinks or alcohol or pills, but the eternal, never-ending, always increasing joy we have in Christ. If today God uses me to reveal more of him through his word, and he draws you even a little bit closer to himself, and you experience more of the love he has for you, if God does those things today, and I go home without a penny in my pocket, my joy will be complete. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this glorious day. A day where I'm worshiping with brothers and sisters in Christ in Orlando, Florida, and a brother in Christ from Liberia, Africa, and we've come today together to gather in your name, and now we're going to look in your word, Father. And I do pray, Father, that your Spirit anoints me to proclaim the word, Father, and I pray your Holy Spirit opens all of our ears and all of our eyes, and that in our inner beings you work to conform us more to the image of your Son through the power of your word and the power of your Spirit. I pray that you accomplish this and much more than I can even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Enjoy the Journey. And I just want to start with a little bit of a historical context. There was eternity past, and then God created the world, and he created us. And we sinned. And God chose a people, as Pastor prayed earlier, Israel. And then there was the new covenant in the blood of Christ at the cross. And now there is a time frame where we are witnessing of that accomplishment that God did for us through his Son on the cross. And then there will be the second coming of Jesus, and then we'll be with God forever in eternity. But right here, right now, we are in a time where God is reconciling us to him through faith in Christ. So what does this have to do with us? In this life right now, in our bodies right now, in our current life, in our current bodies, we are being called to God for a purpose. Turn to Ephesians 2, if you're not already there. So what is our purpose? And the short answer and the important answer is our purpose is to glorify God. But how? What is our purpose? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This is a familiar passage to most of us. This is the word of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for. For what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our purpose is working for God. And not just works, but good works. And not even just good works, but good works that were prepared beforehand. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Walking with God is working for God. What is our work? What is our primary work? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. And this is the word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let's pause here for a moment. This message is for believers. Believers. Those that have faith in Christ and Christ alone. Those that are born again and have the Holy Spirit of God in them. This message is for those that call God their Father. This message is for those in Christ because in Christ we are a new creation. In Christ there is something going on in us. Because in Christ, as a new creation, we have a purpose now. Amen. Let's see our purpose. Continuing in verse 18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our occupation is ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. We are in a foreign and hostile land. We are ambassadors for the living God. And our ministry, each and every one of us is a ministry of reconciliation. We are to make God's appeal. God's appeal. Are you getting that? God is making his appeal through us. We implore people on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to the living God of the universe. It's not our appeal, it's God's appeal. For you believers, unbelievers that hear my voice right now, if you don't believe in Christ, put your faith in him and what he did on the cross for you. I appeal to you on behalf of the living God. I implore you to have faith in Christ and be reconciled to God. Can you think of or even imagine any greater work? Can you think of or imagine any greater privilege than to be God's ambassadors of reconciliation to him? It's no wonder that Paul calls it good works. And consider this. We only get one shot of being ambassadors of God in this foreign land, at proclaiming the name of Christ in a lost world. We only get one shot at being ministers of reconciliation to the God of creation. We only get one shot at glorifying God on this earth. What could possibly be more important than this? What are we doing with the resources that God has given us? What are we doing with the time that God has given us? What are we doing with the power of the gospel that God has given us? May God forgive me for the years that I wasted. And I thank him for his grace. Brothers and sisters, it is time to get to work. It is time to get to work. The title of this message is Enjoy the Journey. What could possibly be more joyful than to be God's ambassadors? And this is the point where God had me split this message up. We're going to look at enjoying the journey. In the early service, we looked at enjoying the journey together as a body and why I'm here. And in this service, we are going to look at enjoying the journey individually and why I am personally going to Liberia. In the first service, we saw that when we are united in the love of Christ, when we are one with God and one with each other, that's when the world knows and believes that God sent Jesus. When we are united in love, that's also when the world knows that God loves us just as he loved his son. Brothers and sisters, I am here today because people need to know. And I'm here for those of you that have the same desire. And I'm here to share the journey and the joy with you. That was the message from the first service. The question in this message becomes, what does God have for you and for me as individuals? And it's really a simple answer. God wants you and He wants me to follow Jesus. If we are following Jesus, then everything else is taken care of. If we are following Jesus, we will become more and more like Him. If we are following Jesus, we will be ambassadors of Christ. Turn to Romans 8. What does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we follow God? How do we walk? Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. Watch this now. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how do we walk? According to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So where is our mindset? On things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So where is our mindset to be? On the Spirit of God. This is life and peace. Move on to verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. As sons and daughters of God, we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. This is how we follow Jesus. We are led by His Spirit. Listen, abiding in Christ and walking with Him is not a magical pill. It is a way of life. It is a spiritual way of life. Life in Christ is life in the Spirit. Notice what is going on. We are to set our mind on things of the Spirit, and we are supposed to set our minds on the Spirit. This is where the battleground is, brothers and sisters. There is a battle going on for our mindset. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. And while you're getting there, let me read Romans 12:2 to you. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to Romans 12:2 tells us this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How then, if we are children of God, do we renew our minds and follow Christ? Perhaps there is a list of rules and regulations we are to follow. Heaven forbid. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 20 through chapter 3, verse 4. This is the word of God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why? As if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We are to set our mind on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is.
Yes.
Have you ever heard the saying, someone is too heavenly minded to be any earthly good? As believers, that is ludicrous. We have our minds set on God. We are to be completely heavenly minded because that is where our leader is. Listen, our mindset is not to be earthly anymore. It is to be focused on Jesus. That is how we follow him. So how do we set our minds on Christ? We spend time with him. We spend time in his word. We spend time in prayer, and we spend time worshiping him. And we spend time with our brothers and sisters. If we are to follow Jesus, we must know him. If we are to follow Jesus, we must know him. Brothers and sisters, this goes way past head knowledge and religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the creator of the universe. I stole a lot of what is to follow from my Easter message a couple of years ago. And none of you here, except maybe and Jody and Alyssa, might have heard this, but I'm good with this. I'm taking this from a different message. But I have to tell you, as God had me reading through the accounts of the resurrected Jesus, I was moved. I was touched by how personal our God really is. So let's look at this together and may God move us with his spirit. Turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 21. We need to know Jesus personally and follow him. What we are looking at here is the resurrected Lord of the universe. John chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 1. This is the resurrected Jesus. Verse 1. And this is the word of God. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. As the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, saying, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not afar from land, about 100 yards away. Don't you just love Peter? Once they realized it was Jesus, Peter couldn't wait for the boat to get back to the shore to see Jesus, and he threw himself into the sea to swim to him. And I love this next part. Please really consider these next few verses as you walk with Christ. Just how personal, how relational, just how loving and caring is our God. Verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and they hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. He's cooking breakfast. It doesn't directly say that, but at the very least, he's serving breakfast. Are you getting this? The Lord of creation, the creator of the universe, the sinless Son of God, who was tortured and killed for them, is cooking breakfast. This reality amazes me. If you were there, no, if you were right here, right now, and Jesus visited you, what would you expect? What would you expect to happen? Would you expect him to call you over to eat? Would you expect him to call you over and fellowship with him over bread and fish? How off is my thinking? How off is your thinking? Our God is relational. Our King loves us. He wants all of our heart. He wants all of our soul. And he wants all of our strength. Because he wants us to enjoy him. If you want to grow leaps and bounds in your walk with Christ, if you want to enjoy life in him, if you want to enjoy your journey with God, stop. Stop thinking about religion and start thinking about relationship. Not words on a page, but experiencing the love of God in Christ. He's serving up breakfast for you. It is not until they have finished breakfast. It is not until they have finished breakfast that Jesus begins to instruct them. Peter in particular, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." It would take a couple of sermons to draw out the truths in this passage. I'm going to stick to my theme. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, yes, and yes. Then work for me. Serve me by serving my people. Be my ambassador, and you will die and glorify God. Jesus says, "Follow me." Jesus says, "Follow me." Jesus is our leader, and he leads in love. On to verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at the table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that it was this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Jesus had just told Peter that Peter was going to be killed. And Peter's reaction was to question Jesus about what was going to happen to John. And Jesus replied, "You follow me. Don't worry about what the other people are doing that are following me. You follow me." Jesus is saying this about me and you. What is between you and God is between you and God. And what is between me and God is between me and God. As God's children, we are to work together. As God's children, we are to love one another as Christ loved us. As God's children, we are to rejoice together and cry together and serve together. But get this and get this good. Our walk with Jesus is one-on-one.
Yes.
It is personal. Jesus says, "You follow me." If you want to know where to start and continue your walk with God, here it is. Spend time with Jesus. If you are not spending time with Jesus, your walk will be weak. If you're not spending time with Jesus, you won't have his joy or his peace. And if you are not spending time with Jesus, you are not being his ambassador of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to always remember that your walk isn't dependent on anyone else but you and Jesus. Jesus says, "You follow me." Find your way to Psalm 46 and we'll conclude. We'll conclude the message and then I'll pray. Then after we pray, I want to just share my heart with you just a short amount of time. So after I pray, don't get too excited. We're not quite done. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you willing to be his ambassadors in this enemy land? Do you have a desire within you to see people reconciled to the living God? Are you called and are you being led by the Holy Spirit of God? If your answer is yes, then this psalm is for you. Psalm 46, starting in verse 1. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Following Jesus is not easy. Life and godliness is a battle. It is a battle to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is a battle to proclaim the name of Christ. How can we possibly enjoy this journey when my flesh screams out to sin? How can we possibly enjoy this journey when the world hates me and makes war against me? Thus saith the Lord, I am with you. Be still and know that I am God. You follow me. Brothers and sisters, enjoy the journey. because it is a journey with God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son who you gave to us that we may be reconciled to you. And what does that mean? Father, it means you're our Father. That through the blood of Christ, we are your children. The living God of the universe loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us that we may live with you forever. It's amazing, Father. I thank you and praise you for that. And I thank you and praise you that then you don't forget us, that you are with us. And we need to be just still before you. I thank you again for this time that you've given me with my brothers and sisters in Christ here. And I just pray, Father, that your word now doesn't just leave us, that your Spirit seals these truths to our hearts, that we may love you more and we may love each other more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So then, like I said, don't get excited. What about Fred then? What has Jesus called Fred to do? This is where I just want to share a little bit of my testimony, a little bit about my story. I grew up lost in a lost, hopeless state without Christ. While I lived in a family that believed there was a God, no one in my family knew God. We didn't know Christ. And I grew up with most of the vices that you can possibly think of. But more than that, I grew up in depression. I grew up without hope. And depression is a family trait on my dad's side. My grandpa had attempted suicide, and my dad was depressed, and he was physically ill as well. And so we go back some almost 23 years exactly. It was a week before Mother's Day in 1989. And I was sitting at the kitchen table with my dad. And he said to me, "Fred, I can't fight it mentally anymore." And I didn't say a word. What could I say? I felt the same way. So the next week I did go to their house on that Sunday for Mother's Day to have lunch with them. And after dinner, my dad went to lie down and my mom and I went into the living room, and that's when we heard the gunshot. My dad had shot himself. I loved my dad. A few years later, God saved me. God poured his grace into my life, and by faith, through his grace, I became his child. And God delivered me from many things, but Christ gave me hope. And I think back to that day at the table with my dad. I'd like to go back there and I'd like to tell them there's hope. There's hope in Christ. But I can't go back. I can't. But I can go anywhere in the world that God calls me to. What are we doing in Liberia? Yes, we are working in orphanages and we're setting up a medical clinic. But more than that, we're going there to bring the word of God. And what am I doing in this group? What does Jesus have for me? God wants me to bring his word to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants me to proclaim the good news of the gospel. God wants me to tell them about Jesus. God wants me to tell them that he created them. He wants me to tell them that they are sinners before him. He wants me to tell them that Jesus died on a cross so they may live through him. Jesus is leading me to Liberia to bring hope to the hopeless. And so by the grace of God, through faith in him, I will follow with joy. Thank you for having us here today. I really have enjoyed our time together. Thank you.
Thank you.